Clubhouse. Yes. So crazy right now. Most incredibly. It's your girl, B. It's your boy, John.
You ready?
Hi, this is Aisha.
And this is Ashley, and we're with Pod Clubhouse.
And this is Sunny from Book of Lies Podcast. And we want to welcome all of you guys today to come and sit in with us and listen to us talk about the Becoming memoir by Michelle Obama on Netflix.
Sunny and Ashley and I are really excited to really just like unpack all of the stuff that we've got. The Netflix special that's come out is directed by Nadia Hallgren. Mm-hmm. And this is after the Obama's administration is over and Michelle Obama has written her book, Becoming, and she's on the book tour. And so this is the documentary about her going city to city. And boy, was it very intimate and interesting to see how she went about living her life during this whole time. What'd you think, Ashley?
What I'm really thinking about is the theme of becoming and how that just resonated throughout the documentary. And I think the entire documentary really gives us a great backdrop and a visual for all of the different themes and ideas that are present in the book. We have this idea of who are we becoming, and it kind of makes us all question ourselves. I think we are all women of color here. And so it's just interesting to hear Michelle give her take and really step into her identity as Michelle Obama, not First Lady Michelle Obama, but her as herself and who she is becoming after the presidency of Barack Obama.
Yeah. This is exciting. I think this is the perfect complement to the book. So I asked you ladies about it, but I got 3 copies of the book. I shared it with my family. I got one for myself. Mm-hmm. And this was just great to learn about Michelle, who she was before she was Michelle Obama, her comeuppance, her struggle, and her family. The documentary goes into that. I like how they introduce her mother, her brother, and they show pictures of her great-grandfather. Or mm-hmm. I think it was her grandfather, Dandy, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people are like, what I like is people are like, oh, Michelle, like, how did you do this? How did you become who you are? And she's like, we are on the same page. Like, I'm from Southside Chicago.
Right.
So, you know, the struggle is real here. And if I can make it, you can make it. And that's a song that she kept singing to everybody.
And it's so beautiful to me how she really was able to be present with others because of just that down home, down to earth aspect of her personality. She really, I guess, exemplified that being present with others and learning and hearing their stories and listening to them. I really admire that about her and seeing that in the documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just like so real. She's so down to earth.
So real.
And genuine. What struck me is when people were coming up and, you know, she's in her book tour, she's signing books, people are coming up to her one by one. She's looking at them. She's not looking around. She said, you know, I look them straight in the eye. I'm taking in their presence, and every single person feels like they're important to her. And she has this profound effect on people and just being like a normal person, but somebody that people just admire immediately. And that struck me, and I love that about her, that realness.
When you give someone your attention, that's a lot. It's valuable. Time is valuable.
Exactly.
So for every person that came to her, she did not break eye contact. She was like, tell me about you.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
Talk to me, baby, talk to me. And it's like, okay, Michelle, we're best friends now. You know, that's how she made people feel, you know.
And I believe the director said something like, to see people interact with her, when they leave, they have this afterglow, you know, and that really stood out to me. And I thought to myself, you know, I remember I purchased the book just like you, Sunny, and I listened to it on audio because it was her narrating her own story and sharing. Mm-hmm. And I felt that was so personal.
No, you're right. That's when I found out Michelle was narrating it. I was like, okay, Audible, you're about to get these dollars too. You know, we got to support our people. One thing that stood out in the documentary is when she was talking about when her and ex-president Barack Obama were campaigning. And she was like, our people didn't come out for us. They didn't show up. They didn't come vote. And I was a little heartbroken about that. I was like, for real? You know, and it's sad that it's true.
You're right. I mean, it's something that even though we know what happened. We know that our people didn't come out, but to be reminded of that now, it hits a little bit harder, I think. And I think for me too, like I felt some sort of way when she said that. And I thought, wow, such so difficult to hear. But I mean, as she's traveling around the country and interacting with people and feeling the vibe of the country, I know she obviously knows how it's going. Everybody's feeling some sort of way. Mm-hmm. And trying to lift everybody up. That's the thing. Like, I was like, my goodness, like,
we need this right now.
We need it.
Yes.
We need this right now.
And as much as she did in those 8 years and how hard it was for her,
yes,
she's still doing it. You know, like, this, just, I feel like, just rest, Michelle.
Right.
Well, like she said,
you want a nap?
Like, Michelle unplugged, like she's Beyonce right now.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
She's giving us everything.
And it came out, it comes out in her style too. You know, I mean, she has this certain swag about her. Mm-hmm. She had that first lady swag and the aura of her and even her style and her poise and her grace. But now you can totally see her own sort of vibe coming out in even in her wardrobe choices. Like her, what's her name? Is it Meredith Kopp?
Meredith Coop.
Meredith Coop. There we go. Meredith Coop, her stylist, is like, this is very Elvis. It's giving me Elvis, but I like
Elvis
it.
Elvis,
like,
all the rhinestones.
Right. It was glitzy. And that was a moment for me to think about who she is continually becoming. And then it resonated for me about myself. You know, we're always in a state of becoming. And I think that's the key. And that continues to be the overall theme.
Right. You're definitely right.
I want to talk about how she impacts young people.
Oh,
because
yes.
This, to me, especially young women of color, just young people in general, that is what struck me the most. And seeing her in city to city, high schools and college students and the young people. How did you feel, Ashley, about that being an educator yourself?
Right. I mean, as an educator, I think about the interactions. I'm super relational in my approach to teaching, and I loved how she was sitting down with them in sort of a circular kind of conversational format. And it was very relational and restorative for them, you know, to be able to ask her questions and then to have that open dialogue and consideration with someone that they admire and empowering students. I mean, I just think that is so key and so important in relationships and empowering young women of color, especially. We saw the young lady who was at the magnet schools, her last year of high school, young Mexican woman. And, you know, Michelle was able to say, you know, you don't realize why you're here, but there's so much power in just the mundane, just the ordinary stories and the way that you're overcoming the challenges in your life. And it was very profound for that young woman. And then we see Shayla later, you know, so I just think it's so important to give young women of color a space where they can see themselves and feel empowered and emboldened to move and shake.
You're 100 on that. I think it kind of goes back to Michelle's childhood because she's like, I see myself in all of you pretty much. To that is her grandfather, her parents, they only instill greatness in her. They're like, you the greatest, you know, you can do this, use your talents. She played the piano. She was in, like, you know, the excelled classes. She was going to a different school for not gifted students in Chicago, but she used to ride a bus to go to different schools. Her parents would pay money to do that. They're like, we want the best for you guys. And she did not miss that message. And I felt like that was put in her as a child and she ran with it. She was like, you can't stop me from going to Princeton. Like, you can tell me that I'm not good enough or you think I'm trying to overqualify myself or whatever her counselor tried to tell her. The one she was like, I'm so salty about this.
Oh, yes.
Don't you tell me what I cannot do. I'm going to show you what I can do.
Right.
I loved it. If someone's behind you always, you know, cheering you on saying, hey, you can do that. Yes. You are going to do that. And these kids and some of them, they don't have that. They don't have that champion in their corner.
Right.
And Michelle was like, you couldn't tell me I couldn't do anything. I always had it in my bloodline to do what I can do because her grandfather couldn't do what he wanted to do. He was held back because he was a black man in Chicago. Her family comes from slaves. And she said that was a thing for her, that's where her family comes from. I believe they're from like Mississippi or something. And her great-great-grandmother was a slave. And she was just like, that still sits with me now.
The thing that she points out is that she grew up in a household where she always felt like she belonged at the table, she says, you know, And so she ended up going out into the world thinking that that would sort of always be the case, you know, with that sort of naivety that we all kind of approach life with when we're young women. And so I think it's so good that she enters the lives of young people intentionally, telling them, you know, we can't wait for the world to be equal to start feeling seen or visible. Like, we have to cultivate the tools within ourselves. And I think that's such an important message for her. And she embodies that message. Not only does she, you know, impart it to them, but she really does model it well.
I agree.
I agree too. Totally. For me, like that line, Sunny, you'd mentioned it. She said, I'm a former first lady and a descendant of slaves.
Yes.
I mean, those two things, that was just very poignant to me. I was like, wow. Yeah. I wrote that down. Like, that is, that brings
me back to a theme of our stories, our personal stories as individuals and the stories we tell ourselves. Like, I think as a country, and I think this is something that Michelle Obama has tapped into, is that in America, we have a story that we tell ourselves, and that can either be true or not. And to what extent is how we're going to react. And so right now, and in the current, I won't get too deep into the political climate, but I think she's reading the room really well when she says, you know, people were afraid and weren't quite ready for us. And I'll be the first to say, I felt like they were a bit ahead of their time, the Obamas, in a lot of ways, based on what we're seeing now. But I think, you know, she's really good at reading the room in terms of not only the individual story, our collective story, but our national story. And are we really being true to ourselves? And then she points us back to hope, you know, gives us a lot of encouragement and hope. And I think that's the symbol that she provides us with.
Michelle.
Right,
Michelle,
right.
Michelle. She's everything.
What a queen. She's a queen.
She's
my one true leader.
Makes her, how she makes her children make their own beds. And you're like, oh, you might have servants and butlers and maids, boo-boo, like, but you about to make your bed.
And then she said, then somebody was like, well, why do you, you know, get to, it's like, because I'm the first lady. I have a degree.
I was like,
that is excellent every way.
This is absolutely how I would present myself.
She's such, you know, as gracious and graceful as she is, she's also a diva in so many ways, but it's so balanced. You know, I love that.
She's so balanced. Yeah, oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have a balance, right?
You really do have a good balance.
You have to be a boss, mm-hmm. a diva. I mean, that's a very difficult thing.
And a black mama.
You have it all right? together. I mean, come on. Oh my gosh.
I love the whole opening of the show.
I was going to say.
Of the series.
Oprah.
She puts in her, thank you. I wrote Oprah in a big old heart. I write everything down.
When I heard,
oh my God, it's Oprah.
Yes. You hear her voice and you're like, okay, she's going to set it off. This is going to be excellent every way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I was watching, I had it on the closed captioning and it said woman's voice introducing. And I was like, woman.
You know who that woman is.
Excuse me, closed captioning.
You mean
that
Oprah's
is voice. Oprah Winfrey.
I'm going to need all the AI to know who that is.
And then it came on, it was like, Oprah. I was like, yes. There we go. Right. There we go. Don't
get it together. Get it together. And I guess it's for people who don't know who Oprah is, who don't recognize that voice.
Impossible.
Impossible. Well, that I remember. I mean, you guys, I'm sure this is not too long ago. Do you remember when the tour started? And Ashley, tell us about.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. So quick story. So I purchased the book and I was aware that Michelle at the time, this was, I believe, March of last year, if I'm not mistaken, Michelle was touring Houston. She was going to be here on March 2nd. It had to be late February, but I purchased my ticket super late, very last minute. And for some reason, when I was getting ready to go, the digital ticket wasn't coming up. So I contacted the folks. And because I was last minute, by the way, my ticket was it was way up in the nosebleeds. I mean, I was super far from the stage, but I was satisfied with that. I was like, I just need to be in the space, you know. And so I contacted the company and they not only refunded the amount of the original ticket, but they also gifted me with even better tickets closer to the stage. I was really able to get up close and personal. The woman with the curly hair. I can't remember. I don't know exactly what her name was. One of the co-hosts, but she was the one who was co-hosting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, she co-hosted here in Houston. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't know who that person is either.
I couldn't recognize her. I need to go back and look
at
her name.
Did you know who she was?
I do not. I'm usually quick on the IMDb, but I did not recognize her.
I mean, I got Gail, Conan,
okay.
Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yes.
Stephen Colbert, yeah. Reese Witherspoon.
All-star cast.
I mean, she had, 34 different hosts,
yes.
Which was very cool to see within
it
the
was, yeah.
Documentary how they talked about who could be the house right. and how she wanted somebody different for mm-hmm. every city mm-hmm. instead of just one traveling with them, you know, the whole
right.
way.
Right, right. I like
so that was very
like
cool.
That they opened it like that. Yeah. Like, okay, we're going to go ahead and do this tour. It's going to be demanding, but we can do that. Yes. I like that Michelle was real about not knowing all the effort that goes into mm-hmm. stuff behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Like all of the extraness and security detail and this and that. She's like, I don't know all that goes into it, but I'm thankful that y'all put this together.
That's good.
It was yeah. huge. It was huge. And I liked the way it was shot, how, you know, they would use clips from this one versus that one and all of the outfits. I'm pretty sure we saw all of her outfits.
I'm pretty sure we did. Well, actually, I was looking for the one she wore the night that I went and I didn't see it.
I don't think
they showed
Houston
the Houston
at all.
I didn't see the Houston auditorium.
Well, so maybe that lady,
arena.
The curly hair lady,
she was in Houston. I think she did do more than one because okay. I feel like she was in more than one of the shots that we saw.
Oh, okay. Could have been less than 34.
I just love the diversity of, like you said, Sunny, we've all kind of agreed that, you know, it's really cool that she had multiple co-hosts and facilitators mm-hmm. there. I think it really shows her interest and care for diversity and getting a multitude of voices. And then, you know, how the directors pan across the arena and show all the faces. I thought that was very well done in terms of like the art of the documentary.
Yeah, there was everybody was there. Everybody was there. Every background,
everybody.
Every color.
Oh, but
that
yeah.
made me feel it brought that hope back mm-hmm. to my heart.
Exactly.
And yeah. I was like, oh, that's what it felt like.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It, we
remember
weren't
that?
Divided.
Yeah.
You know, there was not so much division anymore. It was like we were all together and we all. That just gave me, I don't know,
yeah.
I just felt too much on that. I really did kind of revel. Yeah, all
yeah.
of it,
yeah.
all of it.
Yeah.
I reveled in that,
mm-hmm.
those scenes.
There was a part where she said, there's a moment where you get to sit in that space and ask yourself or recall what this feels like, you know, what this unity actually
exactly.
feels like and enjoy it and then begin to rest in that moment of vulnerability. And I was like, man. That was good. The way yeah. she said it was so powerful.
She's so articulate, mm-hmm. and I feel like she's talking to me. No, I'm just kidding.
That's precisely.
Yeah,
but that's
but like,
why she connects
yes.
so well with right. everybody.
Mm-hmm. She does connect very well. I mean, she gets it done. And a lot of the people that sit down and talk to her, they're like, okay, so are you going to go back to regular life now that you're no longer the first lady of the United
regular.
States?
Regular?
Are you going back to the regular? And she's like, honey, I'm Michelle Obama.
Right.
No.
There will never be a regular.
There's no regular.
There's no going back.
Never. I
no
know.
Going back.
And do you
Mm-mm.
think about that too. What would you guys do? I mean, could you have done what she did? I mean, could you have changed your life, the course of your life?
Wow.
You know, I know that she's Barack's wife and she knew that when he became president, it was all going to change. It's mm-hmm. the course of what you had planned for your life and for your family is completely thrown out the window. And it is a totally different thing. Could you do it?
I just think about the importance of composure and poise
Oof.
That a Black woman or a woman of color has to have in a normal situation.
Oof.
And
mm-hmm.
she, for her to execute that so well,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think I could, honestly. It would just be,
yeah.
That's, she's
we
extremely
got
powerful.
Out.
Oh, man.
We would have been kicked out.
We would have got kicked out.
Right. First of all, what you're not about to do.
I'm telling you too. You're right. I'm not gonna lie.
All the clapping.
I have a lot of
clapping, fingers pointing. Next
I have
moment.
A lot of composure and a lot of patience.
Ooh,
but
child.
Yeah,
she was
super gracious. Like she said, mm-hmm. she had to be perfect for 8 years. For
yeah,
8 years,
a lot of
she
pressure.
Like step a foot out of the line because people were always coming for her. What was her quote? Like, you know, when they go low, you go high.
Right.
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 Yes.
I'm a terrible
mm-hmm.
person.
No, that's it. That's what
that's correct. Yeah, that's
it. Okay. That's what. Okay. Because I was like, it didn't feel right. It didn't sound very Michelle when I said it. But that's why, because they were always coming for her. And she was just like, mm-hmm. you know what? Whatever. Go ahead. I'm not going to roll around in the mud with you people. I'm beyond this. I'm going to, you know, help
transcend.
America. I'm going to help
yeah.
these kids. We're going to get healthy. Like everything
yes.
she was doing, she could do no wrong in my eyes, personally.
Right.
Well, when Stephen Colbert was interviewing her at the end there of the documentary, and he's like, are you still, you know, on that same mindset of when they go low, we go high? And she's like, I'm trying.
Right.
And I love that realness about her.
Uh-huh.
She's like, look, you're right. I did say that. I'm trying, you know, she's being real. Like,
yeah.
I still try, you
mm-hmm.
know, even
mm-hmm.
though I was the one who said it and
mm-hmm.
I was the one who felt it. I still have to work, which means we all have to work.
We're always continually.
We always are, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're right. She really can't do any wrong in my eyes either at this
point. Her book reminded me, when I was listening to this book, I was still in the classroom. Now I'm in an administrative role, so I get to do a little bit of a different thing. But in the classroom space, I was teaching social action at the time. And I do remember teaching my students about a concept called framing stories. And so when I was reading this book, it really reminded me of how we have stories that shape our lives. And so when we're talking about the strength of Michelle Obama and the role of First Lady, I began to think about all of the different moments in her life that shaped her, you know, from her time as a child living on the South Side of Chicago growing up and through high school, like all of the different stories about, and we need to get into white flight too. We didn't talk about that yet, but those moments in her life that really shaped her personhood, and then to have so many different divergent experiences hit that, and how, you know, she had to be resilient. Those are all concepts that I was teaching my students at the time. So it was so important for me to hear that. And it really encouraged me, especially dealing with the difficulties that the Trump administration had brought up for me at that time. So I just find that to be super empowering and encouraging.
Yeah,
definitely. That's amazing. I would have loved to take that class as an adult. Ashley, sign
me up.
It's
a fun class. I miss teaching it. I do.
I would love those a social students. Action class as an adult. What does that look like? Is there something?
Yeah, they're actually, the funny thing is I'm part of a collective nonprofit called Project Curate that's very similar in nature to the social action class. We do a lot of work together in the city of Houston. So actually there's definitely something like that.
Give me that information.
For sure.
Yes, me too. CC me.
All right. Shout out Project Curate. All
right. So what do you want to go into the aspect of white flight that she talked about in Chicago?
And yes.
Is it the 70s?
I don't really know a lot about.
It was like the late 80s. I think it was a transition. So she does talk about it a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm,
she does. So like late 70s to 80s, you know, Southside mm-hmm. Chicago. Chicago mm-hmm. was diverse. And then as I guess things changed, more Black folks was moving up. I know geography much better, but I guess people are coming from the South going up to Illinois, to Chicago. I think mm-hmm. that's what was happening, right? So a lot of people are transitioning, and then, you know, all the white folks are like, oh, Lord, here come the Black people. We gotta go.
Chicago's extremely segregated. Like, there's a highway to this day. Yeah, it's pretty. And I don't know a whole lot about it, but I know definitely it had to do a lot with the housing market and folks, white folks being told, like, you want to get out now? And, mm-hmm. you know, and they started to leave.
Yeah,
and it impacted education, right?
She went from her, I believe, maybe a
second grade, definitely a lower elementary school picture where you could see the diversity to a predominantly Black and brown eighth grade picture.
Yep. That was very striking.
It was.
When I saw
the contrast.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
In the same area. She was in the city then. It was not the suburbs. So the white people were moving to the suburbs. Is that what I got from that?
Or they were moving out of the city to the suburbs.
Okay, got it.
So like Michelle and her family, you know, the Robinson family of Southside Chicago, they still have the same home that they're in. And as she's staying there, like she has friends and neighbors who are different colors, they're dipping out. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, bye. See you ever, mm-hmm. I guess.
Right. Speaking of the family, so as we saw, it was very neat to see the relationship between her and her brother and the mom. And how they were like, how they rib each other, like,
I love it. It was
siblings.
So great. Yes.
And how it's always like, oh, everybody, when's he coming? That, I will have to tell you, as an older sister of two,
When's Craig coming?
That is exactly what happened to me this past Thanksgiving. If my brother listens to this, he's probably going to kill me. But we all were there and he was not there. And we were all waiting and like we all were there on time. And he was just taking his time to come on for Thanksgiving. It's like, well, where's he at? You know, I'm not going to say his name because he's going to be mad. Where is he at? It is the brother duty to be like, it's that golden boy status in the family.
Yep.
I felt Michelle on that one. But and how he totally came for her, that belt she was wearing.
Right.
That what we're doing?
I thought that
that's
belt
what,
was
that's
so
the belt.
Cute.
It was cute.
It was very cute.
So this is what we're doing? Is this a new thing?
But like, you know he was not saying, oh, I like it.
No,
you're
he wasn't.
Right. You were not.
She was like, I don't
do
know.
You wear
I really
that
don't
high?
Know.
Do you wear that? Supposed to be that high?
Yeah, but
yes.
It's going to be around your neck next. You know, like, yeah,
she was like, I don't know what people are doing, but this is what I'm doing.
This is what
I'm doing.
Okay, this is me. But then the funny thing is, like, even though, like, growing up until this day, in her mother's eyes, it's all about Craig. And she's like, Mom, I was the first lady of the United States of America. But him, when Craig gets the interview, he's like, everybody knows my sister. Like, what the hell? Like,
this isn't fair. That stood out to me too. Yeah.
I think it'll never die. That will never die.
He's like, no brother should have to be, you know, have the most famous sister
ever. The worst. Mm-hmm. Too bad, Craig. Too bad.
Got you there. You might be mama's favorite, but I'm the world's favorite.
Exactly.
she won't even have to say that. We all know it.
But can we talk about Obama?
Yes.
Barack Obama. Mister. When he walked through, y'all, did he shut it down? Did he not?
The smoothness. I would have died if I was in that audience.
That woman literally leaped over that Obama. Like, girl, I was like, that's me right there, losing my mind.
But she made sure to say, this is not about you.
It's not.
This is not about you.
And that is exactly
Barry.
How.
Barry, right. It's not Barry. About you. That's what they called him.
That's exactly what they called him in the Barry. Book. And it's very similar in the book, too. It's like, and then I met Barry and then he became president. And moving back to my, you know, it was very much.
Is that how it is?
Yeah, it's very
I
much.
Love that part of the movie. The Me story. Too. I was there for the love affair, for them to meet each other, for them to court her.
Oh, it was
for
gorgeous.
Them to date. Yeah. I was just like, that was my favorite part of the book. I was just like, I'm a romantic. Okay, I love it. I just love it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I love this. And then this guy is just like, he's just so relaxed and just so chill. And then he becomes president of the United States. Yeah, he's super smart. He's reading all these books. And like when they talk to Michelle about him to be her mentor, her to mentor him at her law firm, that's how they were introduced.
Right.
She was just like, who is this Barack Obama? Like, they're like, he does this. He's the best. He read this. He's the president of this. And she was like, whatever. Maybe he's late.
And she's equally, you know. You know, she's as much a force as he is, you know?
Definitely.
And so I loved how she discussed her relationship with him in terms of a partnership and how she was like, look, I had to step my game up in order to make sure I didn't lose myself in him. And I was like, that is deep. I mean,
that's a big theme.
Yes.
That's a big thing of knowing who she was outside of him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And her self-worth and her own, value.
Right. Mm-hmm. And making sure that she was standing in her own excellence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Because
I mean,
I can imagine how difficult it would be to get swept up.
Right.
And to lose who you are. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, as you age, as you, for me as a mother, sometimes you lose that person that you know who that person is because you're giving to other people. You're giving to your husband. You're giving to your children. You're giving to your mother. You're giving to your father. You're giving to your grandparents. Whatever you have to do, however much, and you lose a little bit.
Right. And she makes note. She said, you know, he was going out and working out and prioritizing himself. So I had to, I couldn't get mad about that. I had to remind myself to do the same so that we could be a force together. I was like, that's exactly
that
it right there.
That struck me.
That's the sweet spot.
It hit me today. It hit me today. My husband was like, I'm going golfing on Friday. I was like, what?
Right.
Excuse me. And I was like, okay.
Right.
Yeah, but when she said that, she's right. Because, I mean, on the road, my husband, he helps out so much. He lets me, he watches the kids while we're doing the podcast, or he'll get this done and that. So when he's like, okay, you're setting your time for yourself, I respect that. I do my thing, you do your thing. But to not get lost in a relationship, it's tough in relationships. You can get swallowed up when someone is has a huge personality, has a lot of stuff going on. You put your stuff on the side and you put them forward. And what she was saying is like, hey, you got to remember yourself too. Like, you can help people, you can do this, you can do that, but keep yourself, save time for yourself. Don't be mad because he's doing this. Do what you want to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As I was perusing social media today, I saw that, you know, they're starting to pump up this documentary, right? So people are talking about it. So as I'm looking through, people are already sharing that one of the biggest things about the documentary is that Malia and Sasha make a surprise appearance.
They do, yes.
And so I first of all had to take a second and realize that these are not little kids anymore. I knew they had grown up.
Yes.
But I did not realize that they are beautiful young women.
They
now.
Really are.
And they are beautiful, breathtaking girls.
And Malia, she reminds me so much of Barack. Like, her personality, I'm like, oh man.
I mean, the same. Same face.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, it's their father, and you know, they they're everything.
Yes,
two girls.
They really are.
And maybe I'm partial because I have girls too.
Yeah.
But, Sunny, did you feel like some way when you saw them on camera and like what they were saying? I know you're a mom too, and
I was hoping to see them. I was waiting to see them. I was waiting to see them. Like, honestly, like, so when Barack Obama went into office, I was pregnant with my first child. So she's now almost 10. Wow. And I saw the girls, like, you know, grow up. And then when I saw them as, like, grown women in college with their hair done and their makeup done and them encouraging their mom and talking and stuff, I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, my heart skipped. I was like, this is so beautiful.
Right.
These kids, these women, these young, like, they've gone through so much, too, you know? It was just great seeing them, honestly.
I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to seeing who they become and what they continue to do in terms of their growth and their presence in the public eye. If they're going to be, you know, in the future, and what we'll see of them down the line.
Exactly. They're 21 and 18. Malia, 21, Sasha, 18. OprahMag.com has got a little article on them. It says, this marks the first daughter's first public interview.
Wow.
That was the first one.
Yeah,
they
definitely do talk about that well, she talks about that in her book about how they kept them from the public eye they did a great job.
Wow. If this is the first public interview of these children,
well done, mom.
And they're, like, both adults. You have a choice now.
It's not a choice to be. I'm sure she asked them.
Right, of course.
Would you like to be a part of it? And, you know, they agreed. But wow. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm kicking myself for missing this door. I'm kicking myself real hard because I was like, can I go to this tour? It was something that came up that same weekend. I don't remember what it was. I might have been out of town. Might have been spring break.
Yeah, it was something. It was the week before spring break, I remember.
I am. This is regret all over my face,
I'm hoping she'll be back. Okay, I think she might be back.
I don't care. If she comes back to just talk about fast food and not eat it, I'm going.
Right? Let's talk about fast food and not eating it.
But I like that. And the press release that came out about it, she talks a little bit about what we're going through right now, the pandemic. Anybody's listening to this later on and they're like, we're talking about all this is coming out during our COVID-19.
When we can't really gather. It's not safe to gather.
Right. And we're not gathering and all the whole thing. And how she was saying that no matter how we have to function right now and be separate, we still have to come together. We still have to feel. And how she was saying how she's a hugger. I mean, that just personally touched me.
It did. When in the documentary, when she was really close to her chief of staff, Melissa, her friend.
Oh, yes, I was
like,
Mel.
You're too close, Mel. You're too close. That's not 6 feet, honey. And then I was like, wait a minute. This was
COVID-19.
This is fine. It's fine.
I like that relationship she had with her because her name is, was it Meredith?
Michelle Winter.
Is her chief of staff.
I think it's Mel something.
It's Melissa.
Melissa. Yeah, because she calls her Mel.
Melissa Winter.
I have put Michelle, and I'm so sorry, Melissa. That is not your name. So, for her to be with her since the campaign trail. I mean, that's her dog. I mean,
that's
she was with her.
Die.
That's her ride or die, you know? And I love that she was getting emotional through it all and just feeling that love the whole way through. So, like, I love that the people that she has surrounded herself are the same people that have been there for.
Oh, yes.
From the beginning all the way till now. And they'll be there continually to the, you know, for as long as
she has a birthday, too.
Oh, really?
In the documentary, they give her birthday cake.
Oh.
And she's like, I'm rounding up to 60. I was like, no. Like, what?
How old?
She's got to be 55.
I was like, why are you trying to round up?
All right, 55. Like, you rounding up? I'm about to be 35.
Rounds up?
I'm rounding up to 40.
Sonny, you rounding up?
No.
I'm not rounding
up. I'm rounding down.
I'm definitely not rounding up.
I cut 10 years off of my age. I'm not telling anybody.
Look, my daughter was like, wait a minute. How old are you? I was like, don't worry about
it. First of all, stop asking questions.
Why? I mean,
you don't live here for free.
Right, exactly. It makes no difference to you or your life. So, that's how good she's got it. She looks that good that she could just be rounded up to 60. And we're like, wow.
Must be nice.
Yeah, Michelle, she's only 56. She had a birthday January 17th. So she's 56.
Right.
Alrighty. Well, that makes
rounding up to 60.
Exactly. Well, that's the only thing we're going to complain about.
Right. In a certain class, you know, when you are a certain age, it seems better. You know, some people do have to round up in certain circles.
What?
Well, sure.
No, never.
If you say so.
Sure.
Sure, exactly. Well, I would say, I mean, all in all, for me, I'm going to watch it again.
I'm probably going to watch it again. I'm going to read the book again, too.
I'm going to admit this, and I feel terrible. I had the book. I have not read it yet. I'm going to read the book cover to cover. I am going to watch this again, and I'm going to watch it with my kids.
That's good.
Me too.
It's something that I want them to see, and I just want them to feel. And I watched with my husband, so he enjoyed it as well. So when I watched it, he watched it with me, and we both just like sat there and just took it all in, like, wow, 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 wow.
Well, I want to wrap us up with the notion of becoming. So, ladies, I kind of want to know, who are we becoming? Let's go down the line and describe, you know, at the end of the documentary, we hear from the kiddos and from folks that are in the audience about who they're becoming. And they make this declaration. This is who I'm becoming. So I figured we could share who we're becoming, you know?
Ooh,
this is tough. Okay.
I know, right?
Think about it.
Okay. Who are we becoming as people or... just in general, or anybody, anything.
Who are we becoming as humans? I mean,
okay. As humans. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
I would like to say I am Aisha Martin, and I am becoming a strong, unapologetic, biracial woman that is finding her joy through helping others to become the best versions of themselves.
Sweet. I like that.
That's kind of what I'm thinking for myself.
Nice. So I'll go. I'm Ashley Hill, and I'm becoming a courageous and vocal educational leader and advocate for social change.
Yes.
So I'm Sunny Hepburn, and I am becoming a giving, dirt-smelling... I love to garden. That's why
I love that. I love that. Yes. Very earthy.
I love to garden. I'm becoming an independent entrepreneur that grows their own fur. I'm a phoenix.
Phoenix.
Phoenix rising from the flames.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's deep. Yeah. That's deep.
Mm-hmm. Rising from that dirt.
Rising from the dirt, man. I love it. I'm out there in the dirt every day. Like this morning,
you're like,
I was messaging
literally,
you guys.
Right.
I was gardening. I was like, I got to do this. I got to feed the chickens.
I love
it. I
got
to check on that. Yeah.
So you really are up in there. That's amazing. I love that.
I'm serious. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think this has been a fabulous discussion with three women that are just excited about this documentary. We're excited about Michelle Obama, the book, the tour, everything about her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I thank you ladies so, so much. Thank you, Sunny, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Anytime. Tell us where we can find you.
So I host a podcast with my sister called Book of Lies Podcast.
Okay.
So you can go to our website, bookofliespodcast.com, and you can listen to all of our episodes. You could subscribe. I also own a dog biscuit business called Beauty's Biscuits.
Nice.
So you could visit my website there, beautiesbiscuits.com. And it's just natural dog biscuits made with pumpkin and turmeric and, you know, peanut butter. It's just good for their stomachs. It's good for their bones or joints, inflammation. And it's a tasty little sneaky treat. So it helps with their stinky poops, you know?
Yeah. Oh, nice. What about social media? Twitter or?
Yes. I'm so sorry. So yeah, all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Book of Lies Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, Book of Lies Pod on Twitter. And Beauty's Biscuits everywhere else for dog biscuits.
Love it. Thank you.
Well, and you can catch Ashley and myself at Pod Clubhouse.
Yes.
We're both members of the Clubhouse. So you guys check those out at Pod Clubhouse on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook. Facebook also. Mm-hmm. So other than that, thank you, ladies.
It's been
fabulous.
Thank you.
All right. This is Aisha.
This is Ashley.
And this is Sunny.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.